like to welcome everybody to a regularly scheduled meeting of the Mackville Township Board of Trustees. If you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. All right, we do have Lieutenant John Leach with us from Lucas County Sheriff's Department. Lieutenant, if you please tell us up on what's going on the streets of Monclova.
Good afternoon. I am Lieutenant Leach, Lucas County Sheriff's Office, for the opportunity for trustees for Monclova Township, under the fire department and citizens. We appreciate everything you do and your support for us as we're out there trying to protect everybody 24 hours a day. I'm going to address a couple of things in here. I talked to a couple of business owners lately in the area, and I appreciate everything they're doing. Specifically one on Christie Road, Field of Fear, which draws a large crowd of younger people enjoying that entertainment factor, and they have been actually fantastic this year. I said they work together with law enforcement, they've done in the past, and their security team has been providing doing a fantastic job. We have not had any caller service at location, so it has been an absolute fantastic job there for providing a service to our area, something that these keeps the kids entertained so they're not out there doing something bad in the community. And it's something that is very, very good for it to maintain bringing revenue to for themselves and our area. And it is popular outside of just this Northwest Ohio because I was in Indiana and they heard about Fear. They were progressing because we went to a haunted house over there and they're like, hey, we heard about you at Northwest Ohio and talking on our phone. And they specifically named Field of Fear. So be proud of that. That's something in your community we have. And they go above and beyond and making sure they provide a great, great service for us out here. As we got going into the Halloween season here at the end of the month, we asked people to make sure. Be careful driving on the roadway as you've got little monsters out there dressed up in their Halloween costumes. Parents, please make sure that they're visible costumes, something that, try to wear something that's got a mask so that doesn't block their view and something that's visible for everybody. And as these leaves fall too, as we get the fall and leaves are on the roadway, should they get bunched up together as we start cleaning their yards and pile them up at the street, be collected. Please remind your children, I said, it's really not a safe place to play. We have vehicles outside on the right, and they drive through those piles, and we don't want to see anybody hurt or killed in this area. So please, or ever, I said, please remind them to be safe and have a place. Play them in the yard, pile them up in the yard, have them jump in the yard, but not in the street because that is very dangerous for us as the seasons change there. And believe me, it's tempting for all of us. I said to myself too. I said, I see a big pile of leaves. I want to run through it, kick through it, and lay in it, and play around with it too. But it is sometimes dangerous in the roadways. So just remind your children that. Locally here, I said we've had a couple deaths from construction sites in the area. We are working it. Actually, we're following up on some leaks. So hopefully, we'll have some resolution that shortly. We have to sign to it. We actually got some good leaves. Leads for it, and actually we'll be putting something public pretty shortly within the next couple of days to let you know what's going on with that. Doing a good job out there. School Safety Week. It's actually School Safety Month, but School Safety Week is with bus safety. We have units out there following the school bus for other districts and are from Springfield to Anthony Wayne School District. You'll see marked units following those school buses. Remind everybody, please slow down, and when that stop sign comes out, that's law, stop for that your vehicle. Alright, I said stop for that. Make sure that you don't pay because we will write you a citation. I said there's zero tolerance for that. We do not want to see somebody get hurt. Because somebody's not paying attention to war. They just disregard the law entirely. So we want to make sure that everybody be mindful out there, slow down, watch, pay attention to those school buses. Kids too run out. So when they start slowing down, we got kids that do sometimes their behavior's erratic and they run out in the roadways. I said, please slow down, be careful, watch those buses. We have officers out there tailing those buses, and we will write you a citation. Do I have any questions, Joe?
Just some comments from some neighbors. Holloway speed seemed to be higher than usual, and same with Coda Road. So if we could make sure you are seen on those two roadways, that would be great.
Absolutely.
I did did see there was an incident today on a truck following a school bus that didn't, the brakes fail or something?
Yeah, there was a fender bender out there.
Well, somebody said, show the picture, the truck actually flipped.
Flipped, yeah. That was
into the field.
That was a bad fender bender.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had kind of somebody extracted out of the vehicle.
Okay.
Any questions from the audience? Yeah. I'm an open book. Here's your chance to ask the sheriff's office questions. Well, thank you for the opportunity. Okay. And I'll forward to seeing you guys. You guys on the next month.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have? No need for executive session after discussion with our legal counsel. So, is there any adjustments to the agenda?
No,
I have none.
All right. Then our last meeting on October 6th. Any additions or corrections from our minutes submitted by our fiscal officer?
None.
All right. I make a motion to approve those as submitted.
Second.
Second by Vickery. A motion. Herschel.
Yeah.
Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
All right. And then the fiscal officer, would someone take care of the bills, please?
I'm looking.
I make a motion to approve the bills. No, sorry, Mark.
No, I can't.
I was going to say, you were looking like you were searching.
I am searching.
Okay. To pay the bills approved, president, totaling $365,653.45. Per the attached list submitted by the fiscal officer.
Second.
And by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery? Yes.
Right. In correspondence during the past, since our last meeting through, we received a total of 9 emails and 2 or 3 requests for public information, all regarding data centers. And with that, I guess I would just like to make a statement. Bear with me here a second. So, in today's society, social media is kind of like the old town crier in days past. It can be a quick and effective way of sharing information with me and friends. But social media can also, like the fable of the crying wolf, sharing disinformation and spreading false rumors. If you were to believe everything that's been stated in the past on social media pages, the Friendship Store on my Clover Road would currently be a 24-hour truck stop with ladies of the evening soliciting business versus a valuable part of our community providing gas and food and groceries of convenience to residents. During a public meeting on March 31st, 2025, the Maclova Township Board of Trustees approved a text amendment to our zoning resolutions to permit data centers and agricultural zoning as a conditional use. After the text amendment was approved at a public meeting of the Maclova Township Zoning Commission, and this was after a Lucas County Plan Commission approved this during a public meeting. All 3 meetings were public meetings and comments and questions were permitted. By law, the Board of Trustees must have their public hearing within 30 days of the Zoning Commission. So we've been asked, why a text amendment versus a traditional commercial zoning? The text amendment allows the township to control aspect of proposed projects such as additional setback requirements, landscaping, lighting, building height, open space, and other items. Traditional commercial zoning requirements are spelled out in our zoning resolution and does not offer the township as much input and flexibility into a proposed project. Additionally, if a parcel was rezoned commercial for a proposed data center and the data center does not come to fruition, a factory or other industrial use could come in with the commercial zoning in place. If an application for a data center does come before Maclova Township, after the site plan is reviewed by our zoning commissioner and fire inspector, the conditional use need to be approved by the Maclova Township Board of Trustees. All Board of Zoning Appeal meetings are public meetings and have the opportunity for public comments and input. The Board of Zoning Appeals can make or require as many conditions as they see fit. At the current time, Monclova Township does not have any applications before us regarding any data centers. I spoke with Merriman of the Lucas County Economic Development Commission today, and he said that there were no offers on any land in Western Lucas County for a proposed data center. Matt is trying to coordinate a community forum in conjunction with the Regional Growth Partnership and WGTE to share information and answer questions from the public. He anticipates this being held sometime in November and hoping to have this at Anthony Wayne High School. Additionally, a large portion of the vacant land on the east side of Black Road between St. Road and Wabash Cannonball is within the city limits of the city of Maumee. This includes 40 or so acres that was approved by Monclova Township Housing, but later annexed into the city of Maumee and approved for denser housing than permitted by Monclova Township. Lastly, I would like to challenge the people who post anonymously on social media and accuse public officials of taking kickbacks and bribes from corporate interests. I would encourage you to get out from behind your keyboard and come to a meeting and be a productive part of the community versus throwing out libelous and false accusations. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck, for representing our position very clearly. That's the first time I've heard this, and I don't think I can add anything to make it more solid than it already is. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Our fiscal officer doesn't have anything for report tonight. Our old and new business, no items, so we'll get into our zoning reports. Eric, if you would, please.
Sure. It's a pretty normal but very easy report. The dry, warm spring is making it very easy to continue outdoor projects. So we have two new residences, two commercial zoning certificates, nine fences, five pools, one shed, five garages over 1,000 square feet, one zoning verification letter, five additions, two alterations, two site plan reviews, and then one variance request. And then the rest of my report is information if you have any questions.
That looks like a busy month.
Yeah, it's been very busy. I think the weather really contributed to that.
I see we're still moving forward with the Hebron 20A.
We are. I talked to the contractor who's for a lot of our demolition and asked him for an estimate. He's going to get one to get back to me. That.
Do you think it might be done before the snow starts?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. Barbara, do you have anything?
I don't have anything.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Chief Holmick, what do you got for us tonight?
Just informational, mostly. We did responded to 174 incidents in the month of September with the statistics broke down as presented there. And my report was no action tonight, largely information if you have any questions.
No, actually, I, for those of you who may or not know, do you want to share with the public tonight with the recent grant that we've received?
Sure, yes. At the last meeting, the board approved the acceptance of the FEMA AFG grant, which we had applied for to update our SCBA equipment, so our self-contained breathing apparatus. And we received that grant. It's a little bit stalled in the government shutdown process, but we're working the grant writers as we navigate through the first steps of what we need to do for it and looking at them. Procurement policies and make sure we have policies in line with those.
And what was the amount of that grant?
There's $284,000 altogether. That includes a 5% contribution that the township makes towards it. So the grant funding of $279,000. It'll provide us an SCBA, which is going to put one backpack, one face piece, and two tanks. Cylinders for every seat on the vehicles, and then it also includes extra equipment, battery chargers and batteries for the harnesses, extra face pieces to outfit every department member with an individual face piece, and then upgrades to our existing rapid intervention equipment packs to bring them into the new platform that we go with.
So in the last 12 months, this department has received roughly $1.3 million in grants?
Correct.
Upgrade equipment?
The equipment and the staffing, right, are, we received the FEMA grants in 23 and 24, the fiscal years 2023-24, so last year and this year. And
congratulations.
Yeah, nice job. I think that's more than a sizable increase than the previous 10 years combined, probably.
Well, we're always looking at what we can do to have alternate funding and to make our dollars go farther for the community.
We appreciate you.
I also would like to thank the fire department as a whole. You guys helped with Trunk or Treat over at the community center last Wednesday. And I'm going to say kudos to the maintenance department at the same time, Doug. A lot of us showed up. We had a great handed out candy. The new fire truck was there. Rescue squad was over there. We didn't have to go out on any runs during the trunk or treat. So thank you so much for the fire department, for the maintenance department representing the township very nicely.
Absolutely.
Over at the community center trunk or treat. And it was beautiful weather. It was great.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys again.
All right. Road and Superintendent Holland.
You're going to share me talk long enough? Yeah, I don't really have much. Everything's kind of informational on my report. We discussed everything during working session. So if you got any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Maybe you want to ask, we do have a fair amount of people in, but just an update on what your plans are for leap ups. I know we've already started out there season.
We've been out on non-curb streets. Tomorrow we will actually start full swing. You'll have two trucks, one on the north route, one on the south route. You will get updates on your app periodically letting you know in subdivisions, like, hey, we're 3 days away, 3 or 4 days away. We're not going to give you a day, but if we come through and you didn't get your leads out, don't chase us down and try to rake in front of us. Relax, we'll be back again. We haven't left leaf piles. We're not going to start leaving leaf piles, so relax. You don't have to call Kathy and say, are you going to pick up my leaves, please? We're going. It's two big trucks with two big trailers and two people. We'll get on, I promise. So if any concerns, call my office directly.
Doug, do people run out and try to rake in front of you?
Yes. And we watched the guy blow his mower up last year because he was putting him on a tarp and dragging him across the street to try to get ahead of us. Well, all that's just a traffic issue. Like, just don't do that.
And for what he's referring to, we have an app called My Monclova. If you don't have it downloaded to your phone, that we send out notifications a couple days ahead of time what neighborhoods that are coming through to pick up leaves, so that you can know it. And there's other alerts on there as far as snow emergencies, road closures. So if you don't have it already downloaded to your phone, I would certainly encourage you to do that. But My Monclova, it looks like a green background with a white circle with a Monclova in the center.
If your car is parked in front of the leaves, there's only so much we can get because of where our hose swings. So we didn't miss them, we can't get to them. And we don't have time to rake every resident's leaves. So if your car is parked in front of your leaves and they're still sitting there, they're going to be sitting there until we can make it back around. We're not going to make a special trip to come back because you moved your car. So when you place your leaves, think about where you park your car. In relation to mailboxes and other things of that nature, too. So keep in mind that we have a 6'6", that's what we have. So, but we will get to them.
I'm still surprised at how many leaves are still on the trees.
Yeah, it'll be like it was 2 years ago. It's just going to fall at once. Mm-hmm. I talked to Mike at White House, and I talked to Andy at Springfield, and they're all the same thoughts.
All the same.
All right. Administrator, any questions for Doug?
No.
All right. Administrator Grimm is out of town due to a family emergency. He's got a handful of action items. We've been reached out to a company called JP Mold, a firm that specializes in state excise tax. So technically on our fuel that we use for our mowers, our backhoe, our wheel loader, things like that, because those are on the road, that we can apply for a refund for the state excise tax. So they have a formula that they use, based on our 12 months of fuel invoices, that we can get a refund from the state of Ohio on those road excise taxes. Harold has attached an engagement letter, and Don has reviewed it and is comfortable with that moving forward.
I move to authorize the administrator to sign the October 15, 2025 engagement letter from J.P. Moeller for professional services seeking a refund of certain state excise taxes on fuel used by emergency and public works vehicles.
Second. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right. We have a couple of grave buybacks in Roth Cemetery. Take care of both of those at the same time.
Yes, maybe we can. I move to approve $400 for the purchase of grave 3 in lot 2 of section 6 from Thomas and Diana Hennessy.
Second.
As well as $150 for the purchase of graves 3 and 4 in lot 61 of section 6 and grave 4 in lot 67 of section 6 from Eric Russell, POA, from Mary Russell.
Okay, second it now. Yeah. Okay, second.
On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
You might want to explain.
Yeah, so
about buying backs.
The buyback, if a person or family decides not to purchase a grave and they decide that they want to be cremated or buried somewhere else, that the township will buy their grave back at the original price paid. So they can only sell it back to the township. And we add it to our, I guess, available lots. So. But it is at the set that they originally paid. That's why the price difference on those. All right, Harold's also got an action item on our 2027 resurfacing project, which includes Strayer Road, Reed Road, Anthony Drive, Wayne Court, Hilltop Lane, and the Burnwick subdivision, and a north portion of North Jerome Road. Current estimates at $2.3 million from the county engineer, with our share estimated at $1.7 million. We're applying for OPWC, which is Ohio Public Works, grant of $700,000, which would be split up between us, the county, and Springfield Township for their portion of Burnwick. So the District Improvement Committee will vote on the project grant date November 6th, with funding allocations on December 11th. So with that, I'll make a move to approve resolution 10202025-01, approving a joint cooperation agreement for the Strayer, Reed, North Jerome, and other subdivision roads between my Township Board of Trustees, the Springfield Township Board of Trustees, and Lucas County.
Second.
Second by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
All right, Harold has a couple other things in his memo regarding road salt that we're already, our barn is full, ready to be deployed, hopefully not too soon, huh, Doug? The public services on recycling that Lucas County is opening a facility here right now that Republic takes them to Vienna Junction facility.
Can I ask Kathleen to include that in our next newsletter? I've had neighbors ask, what really happens with recycling? And I thought they gave a very detailed version of how they take care of our product.
Do that for December.
Thank you. Sorry, Chuck, I interrupted your role, but I needed to get it in there.
No, that's fine. Connectivity, we continue to work with Team McCog on looking at various ways of extending and connecting the Wabash Cannonball all through its neighborhoods. May or may not have seen, if you've gone down Montclover Road, see the new sidewalk bike path on the north side of Montclover from the bridge down through North Jerome. Yeah. All right. And that's it. All right. That concludes all of our agenda items. Are there any questions or comments from any audience members regarding any agenda items? Yes. And for the record, would you please state your name and address for the record? The microphones to the ceiling will pick you up.
Ron Leffler, 7900 Spit, Waterville. I'm not sure the data center, the letter that you read, are you considering that your agenda? Because I have a question. When you stated, I just wanted to clarify, when you were talking about the BZA, I thought you said that before it went to the BZA, it would come to you guys. I don't know if you spoke.
No, it would go to our zoning, to Eric, and then to the fire department for any site plan reviews. So it does not before the board.
Yeah, I thought you. That's what I was trying to clarify. So it would not come back to you,
okay.
The trustees,
yeah.
Again.
If an application for a data center does come before my Clover Township, after the site plan is reviewed by the zoning commissioner and fire inspector, the conditional use would need to be approved by the Monclova Township Board of Zoning Appeals. All Board of Zoning Appeals are public meetings and have the opportunity for public questions and comments. The BZA can / make or require as many conditions as they see fit.
Okay, because I thought you said it would come to you. My question would be, can Eric kind of clarify then, if an application is made, it can't necessarily be turned down by the BZA, they can only make conditional requests. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say that's correct. What I would say is the BZA would review it, and they actually ultimately have to approve it. There could be reasons that something could be rejected. That's a possibility.
So the whole project could be rejected by BZA or just the conditions?
They put conditions on the project, but they ultimately have to approve the project. If there was some reason that a project wasn't feasible from some kind of practical standpoint, it could be rejected, I would think, theoretically.
So our fire chief, from what I understand, first would review it?
Well, the fire department, and I don't want to speak for you guys, but they look at things like access, you know, drive around, if any buildings on site, you know, that they, you know, our fire truck is how long, 50-some foot long, that it can make the turn and, you know, that it's not like a Denver road that can back in and back out and things like that.
Yeah,
I just want to provide the steps now that if an application was made, where it would go so everybody would understand who's making the decisions now.
Yeah,
based on the current conditional change that was made on March 31st.
So any application would originally come to Eric, just like a new housing permit, a fence permit, a pool, anything like that, a new commercial building, would originate with Eric.
And then where would Eric send it? Just to be where everybody understands.
Okay.
So it would get sent to our Board of Zoning Appeals. I can get feedback, obviously, from the fire department. I can ask the county engineer for feedback, depending on, you know, where it's located. I can ask the planning commission for feedback. Then it goes to our Board of Zoning Appeals. If something would be approved, then the site plan would still need to be reviewed after the fact for, like, traffic and drainage and all those other kind of things.
But the BZA can provide conditions such as setbacks,
landscaping, building height,
lighting,
noise, all those things. They can provide all sorts of different kind of conditions.
So I just want to clarify then, it wouldn't come back to you guys, wouldn't go back to our zoning commission.
That's correct. It would go to the BZA.
Correct. So right now, essentially the BZA would make the call as to whether it would be approved and on what conditions.
That's correct.
Okay, that's what I want. That's all I wanted to clarify. When you had read that, I thought you'd say.
I think you put an extra word there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, if you please state your name and your record.
Debbie Stevens, Lobs 4550, record. Your letter clarified why you guys did the conditional zoning versus just a zoning change, but it didn't say why you were doing either. Why could it not be left KR?
Well, we've been talking, and the county is working with, for lack of a better word, a site selector, and they're looking at a number of areas in western Lucas County for potential sites for a data center. The attractiveness of the Lucas County, from what we've been told, is the proximity of the natural gas lines in the area, primarily the Nexus gas line that is about, from what I've been told, about 40% at capacity. That the natural gas can be used for power generation for a data center, and why? And that because of the location of the Nexus line makes western Lucas County attractive to the areas potentially looking at the various sites.
So we work with our partners in the county, and we thought this offered the township the most protection.
Staying AR would have done protection?
Well, and that's what I stated earlier. If they were to come in and apply for commercial, you know,
right.
and it was rezoned commercial.
This can be turned down.
Yeah.
We haven't done anything that can't be turned down.
But you did open the door. That's what I'm asking.
No, the door's already open, and we protected ourselves.
Yeah, we're trying to provide the township the most, how shall I say, flexibility in managing a project if a project comes to us, if one does come before us, yeah. To be amenable, I guess I'm trying to think, something that... If a project was coming, it would be best fitted for the area and the neighborhood, and that's what the conditions that the Board of Zoning Appeals can put into place. Ryan.
Ryan Bauman, 54 Love Road. To go off of Ron's point, back to ZA. So, for example, without becoming hyper hysterical from what you read and see on social media, the BZA could say, for example, we don't want these structures to be three stories tall. They have to be the size of the height of a residential house or structure in our community. You would want it to look a certain way. Maybe it needs to be hidden, extra tall mounding, 25, 30 foot mound with trees. Like, you guys could set those conditions so aesthetically it could be nicer than, say, heaven forbid, the ones that are being built in central Ohio that are these just big, massive concrete structures. That's what the flexibility of the BZA would give us, right? That's what you allowed the
correct
township to have, is that flexibility to have the say, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because... But currently, with the current zoning, a hydroponic greenhouse like out in Delta could come in there tomorrow and build greenhouses on any agricultural property throughout the township. There's the ag zoning is pretty broad.
It's pretty broad, yes.
And I mean, as far as composting facilities, there's a lot more. I mean, farming operations.
Wedding receptions.
Yeah. So. Sure, Ron.
Question about the BZA. I was on the BZA, 10, 12 years ago, but there was never a lot of communication between the trustees, zoning commission, and BZA. It felt like when BZA, we were just out on an island there. When something of this magnitude comes up, what kind of communication is the trustees or the zoning commission of Monclova going to have with the BZA? Is it just those five members of the community that are going to set these conditions? Or I don't know how all the rules work. Can you as trustees meet with this BZA and make recommendations or communicate with them?
And Eric, why don't you provide, how some of the previous BZA, for example, on the the building, the proposed building at the Dome facility.
Okay. But before you start, Eric, Ron, sunshine laws require that we talk to BZA meetings in a public meeting. I just can't have conversations and do business outside this public forum. I can't talk to Trudy.
I understand
Chuck.
That.
So that's why you didn't hear from me, because I can't do business just with you. But Eric can proceed on how we use staff and legal team. And if there's a meeting, I'll be at the public meeting if we ever get to that point in this.
Yeah, correct. I mean, staff can advise the BZA. Our legal, our law director can also advise the BZA. Individual elected officials are more than welcome to come to public meetings and can give comment. And so, but everything just has to be out in the open, like Trustee Lang said.
And does the BZA use our zoning as a guidebook? Or
they do. They use our zoning resolution and land use plan as a guidebook.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Justin Zemanski, 7506 Pepper Grass Crossing. So I just got, kind of in the loop about all this stuff about the data center through what I saw on Facebook with the last water bill meeting with Mayor Pedro and another councilman. So just so I understand correctly, as of March 31st, the door was open, or was it opened by somebody else before them?
We allowed data center, we approved data as a text amendment to our zoning as a conditional use in agricultural zoning. So conditional use meaning it could be approved with quote-unquote conditions. And those conditions, if an application was to come before us, would be set by our Board of Zoning Appeals.
So before March 31st, this was not a possibility?
There wasn't a definition of data centers in our zoning code.
So could they have come in under commercial? Could they have come in some other way? Potentially. We thought this was pro tem.
Could they come in anywhere else under an agricultural zone?
We don't know that they're in now.
Yeah. There wasn't, like I said, we did not have a definition of data centers. This is a relic of newer technology. We didn't have a definition of that in our zoning. We have definitions of 65 other...
All sorts of things, yeah.
Right, we did this with solar.
Solar, wind.
As new things come up, we add it. So we're protected.
Yeah, we just added a definition for solar fields a couple years ago. Yeah, wind power, things like that.
Okay, so you three as elected officials, you have defined what the data center is. Now,
do you want the process or how we change the zoning?
No, I wasn't going to ask. So now there's a BZA of unelected people who are now going to ultimately make this call. Is that correct?
Is there a project?
If a project comes before.
Okay. What would you say the likelihood is of that? I know you don't have a crystal ball.
Well, you could say, hypothetically, the BZA could say, we want X, Y, and Z, and the applicant says, well, we're going to go elsewhere. These are conditions, and the applicant could say, well, we don't want to do that, so we're not going to build or move forward.
And the only thing we've heard is from Matt Hireman that there is no project in Lucas County right now. So you asked for a percentage, right?
Do I just ask for your guys' gut feeling? Because there is, as I'm sure you guys are aware, very alarming statistical data about water and energy consumption of these places. I live less than a mile from the... And I drive down Black Road to and from Anthony Lane High School at least once a day, if not twice or three times, taking kids to practices and that. And I have friends that live across the street from that site. And I really hope it doesn't come to fruition.
No, and I, like I said, as far as water, I've read, that a mega data site would use 1 million gallons of water a day. I've also read that the city of Toledo, who provides our water out here, has got a 60 million gallon excess capacity. So, and I've also read these new servers that they use some type of and like antifreeze. There's a lot of water. They're not all cool with water because water doesn't cool fast enough. So,
but we're really hoping the county comes through and helps us all understand this better. So we're looking forward to that Anthony Wayne High School informational session. So we can get accurate information, not Facebook information.
They're probably anticipating a pretty good turnout. They're going to have it at the high school.
That's why I think they're, with speculation that their site's in Waterville or Waterville Township, also being tossed about that, from all, various communities out here in the Anthony Wayne area to go to that. I think that's their anticipation. Sure, Ryan.
And Justin alluded to, he's a teacher at our schools. Speaking of schools, if this was hypothetical and an application was made in Monclova Township, what you read in the media is, these companies come in and they negotiate with schools and school incentives, they issue with the communities and kickbacks or what have you. Who would you propose or how the process work regarding whether the school board is invited into that conversation by you guys, or the superintendent is invited in that conversation, or, I really hope that somebody goes and talks to the schools and negotiates with them. Like, do you have an idea as to how that works, if the schools can stand to benefit, how they would be invited in?
I think the auditor and the conversations that I had with Katie Mullane, they said when these projects are very hard to come up with a value. You can come up with a 100,000 square foot building and concrete. I can come up with a value on that. But what's the value of the service and everything else running aside? So generally, they come up with a model of just a flat form. It's going to, hey, we're going to pay X amount of taxes, and that's distributed per the formula. If you look at our county tax rates, it's 49% of your taxes goes to the school, so the school should be definitely part of that. I've been told, that the Oregon City Schools, with the project going out there, that they're going to get an annual payment somewhere between $3 and $5 million. I don't know that amount, but that number that I've been told, that a ballpark number. If you look at the you look at the last levy request that Anthony Wayne had. That was $3.2 million for 5 years. So, this could basically, and these agreements that they're talking about are sometimes 20 years. So if you look at, even on a level, let's say $3 million for 20 years, that's almost like a bond levy to the schools. They could I'm sure Dr. Herman and Kerry Johnson over there could find a good uses for $3 million a year on top of what they're currently receiving. And the school board, I should say, with their direction over there. Sure, Kevin.
Was that?
But that would all have to be negotiated. That if a project comes before us, we're talking hypotheticals here.
Yeah, and I think that everybody would love to have $3 million more in their budget, but I think there's also a little bit of a is it worth it in the long run to have? I've one of these draws as much energy as 25,000 households. And Legionnaire's disease, according to the CDC, can be factors from a watering tower. And $3 million is great, but I think that people's health around them is probably a lot more important. And whether energy builds the impact acted by this massive amount of energy being used in very small locations.
Now, from what I've read, some of the sites, various sites around the country, because of the concern about the drain on electric users, have their own power plants on site to alleviate some of that. And from what my understanding is, that's what makes the Anthony Wayne area with the gas pipelines in the area attractive to this, because they can use the natural gas to generate power versus buying out the electrical service. I have not heard the concern or about the Legionnaires' disease, and I think hopefully Matt Heierman, from what he shared with me today, is they plan on having a panel of experts, 6 to 8 people on various specialties that can share that and answer those type of questions.
Right. So you may at least get another a voice in the conversation. This expert versus what I read here versus what I read there.
I think the CDC would be decently recognized.
Absolutely.
Because I'll give you guys a statement. The CDC has said towers the main cause of Legionnaires' disease. Legionnaires' disease is a type of pneumonia contracted by inhaling small drops of water in the air containing Legionella bacteria. According to the CDC, approximately 10,000 U.S. citizens were infected with this in 2018. The bacteria grows poorly maintained cooling towers. Data centers must conduct frequent inspections of the data storage facilities and decrease their reliance on cooling towers. Combat the issue, data centers that use chlorine and bromine-based chemicals. However, exposure to these chemicals can cause psychosis and other neurological disorders.
What year was that?
2018. So it's probably gotten a lot more, aggressive since.
Yeah, and that would be when the community forum does happen. That'd be a good question to ask.
Thank you.
Yes, Ryan.
This question is probably going to go back to Eric, but so back to the BZA question. And again, I appreciate you guys having a hypothetical conversation with us. But if this was to happen at the proposed speculative location of Black Road, and for the first time ever in my lifetime, you have me and Monclova theoretically having to work together on a joint project, would our BZA then only have voice in the portion of the project that would be in our township? And therefore, the city would have their voice of the part of the project that would be in their city. I would understand that correctly, right?
That sounds reasonable.
So if there's one power plant to be built for the whole project, we don't want it on our side of the tracks, and they don't want it on their side of the tracks, theoretically, we have to come to an agreement, Monclova and Maumee combined, collectively, correct?
Our BZA would.
The pistols are 20 feet, yeah.
And blindfolded.
Yeah, you're right. That's with anything, the township has had challenges going back 40 years ago when Saturn wanted to build an auto plant here, and I'm dating myself here, and that was the whole, there was to be a Saturn auto plant built where the mall is. And that land was initially annexed into the city of Maumee. That's why we have this peninsula of land. If you a map, the Fallen Timbers Monument that I joke with it's in the Kroger there in the city of Maumee. The Fallen Timbers Monument is in Monclova Township. The Fallen Timbers Battlefield is in the city of Maumee. So we would have to, and we have a good working arrangement with the city of Maumee, but that's something that would have to be negotiated at the power plant. And our BZA could say no power plant, and if Maumee says no power plant, that could potentially kill a deal if one was supposed to come. Yeah. I want Maumee's zoning on the east side of the Black Road, entails, that had originally slated for 300 homes, and Kevin, what 300 homes would do to another 200 kids in the school. So there's pluses and minuses to everything. So, Ron, you have another question?
Well, a statement. I guess since we're talking about this, it's hypothetically, but I would encourage you guys as trustees to encourage the members of the BZA to do as much research as they can about these data centers, to hopefully visit as many of them as they can so they would know what kind of things would affect us residents that butt up to it and what kind of conditions would be advantageous for the township if this project was to go forward.
Absolutely.
I don't want to sit back and have them wait that it might happen, because I'm thinking it's going to happen.
Yeah, and this is something they, you know, if they don't feel comfortable at the initial meeting, they can have multiple and follow-up meetings as well, right?
That's correct, yeah.
But there's no time like right now.
Correct.
To start looking.
Right. The gentleman in the black.
Yeah, Andy Nelson, 4246 Backridge Way. A few questions. One is, do you have the power to enact a moratorium on data centers? And if so, is that something you...
A moratorium.
It's something a lot of communities have done, like temporary, to ease concerns like are happening in our community. They place like a 1-year moratorium so that environmental studies, you know, other sort of due diligence can happen before anything could ever happen. Is that something you guys have the power to do, and would you be open to it?
I don't know that we have the power to do it. We have placed moratoriums on certain types of things. I don't know if this falls into one. Our legal counsel is in here right now. And we thought this was the best way to protect ourselves when we heard about the project. So the conditions give us a lot of tools.
But you said you actually have, you yourselves, the three of you, have no additional say in the matter, right? Right now, it just could be easy.
There is a staff that can work with the BZA to make sure.
Yeah, I don't know with the text amendment that said how to undo that. I think what Barbara, we'd have to check with the legal counsel on that.
I think it's worth doing. I think you'd have a lot of public support for a moratorium for a year, 6 months. You'd have a lot fewer people. You know, if you're worried about the public opinion and the flurry on Facebook.
We absolutely listen to the residents.
Yeah.
All those emails we've received we'll put into the file for the BZA if and when this ever happens, if it happens.
Yeah,
We're taking minutes right now. You're on the public record. Yeah. It will go.
Okay, great. Two more. Do you also have the ability, in addition to the, you know, the zoning change that gives you conditional approval, or the ability to enact conditions? Can you specify conditions right now by changing zoning laws specifically for data centers that impose a very high bar on things we've all talked about, water use, electricity use, the use of specific lighting that doesn't, you know, cause light pollution. I could give you a list of
it. Yeah, and we have put it on. I'll use the Andersons, for example, when we were working with them on their site plan, where that the lights in the parking lot are all cone-shaped facing down, that they didn't have any exterior lighting facing the residents on the backside. So we do have lighting. As far as electrical use, I don't know how we would monitor something like that, Eric.
I think we could put a lot of conditions, and there might be like best industry standards or something that we can find. If something would ever come to us where we could put some conditions, that would be something we'd have to research. But yeah, we can do all sorts of conditions of landscaping, lighting, you know, all sorts of things to limit the, you know, noise pollution, light pollution, all those other kind of things.
Yeah, if it's something you're not interested in the community, I'd encourage you to look into what we could do to make it less attractive up front, rather than relying on the BZA on the back end to hopefully do what's right. Last question, if we did enact conditions through the BZA that were not acceptable to somebody trying to put in a data center, let's say on the Blackwood property, just on the Monclova side, I don't know how annexation works, but similar to what they did with the other part of that property, would it be easy for mommy to just say, we want this thing to happen, we want the tax revenue, let's just annex the other part of it? And what say do we have in that?
Great questions.
Yeah. You know, we do have a joint cooperation agreement or joint economic development agreement with the city of Maumee that says that the city won't annex the property, that the county commissioners and Lucas County Police said they were affected in a matter, the state law was a matter, and with the other acreage that was on the east side of Black was annexed in. So that would be an option for the property owner if it got to that point.
Is there anything you could do proactively again to prevent that legally?
Yeah, we could buy the property.
well, we are working on it all the time, making sure mommy can't annex us. So we
we're trying to protect.
We're protecting all our
the township. Yeah, we've proactively taken actions in other areas to protect our borders. But the way that the higher revised code is written, the townships aren't in the strongest position.
And we may be able to use the courts to help us relook at our contractual agreement, but that's probably not something we want to discuss in detail.
Yeah. We prefer not to go that route because all it does is builds up billable hours for attorneys.
But it might be where we need to go. So
we have
been working on this since we annexed 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
That was the whole impetus for the creation of our first economic development zone, is when the city of Maumee annexed basically all the mall property now.
It's a problem for the townships throughout the state of Ohio. We all fight the battle of the city wanting to eat us up. So,
yeah. People don't realize that currently Mount Clover Township has a larger population than the city of Maumee.
And they have nowhere they can go.
We have 30 employees, they have 100. They have $100 million of debt, we have zero. So, sure, Ryan.
I'd like to just state the obvious, but it's not obvious to most people. Just because your address says one thing does not mean that thing.
You don't live in Holland.
I have a Maumee address, and I live in Mount Clover Township. My business has a Waterville address on Black Road. It's in Mount Clover Township. So there's a lot of speculation from a lot of people. They think they live someplace that they don't.
We're trying to brand ourselves, Ryan. We keep
we're
batting signs that say you're on Clover Township.
Yeah. About somebody from the Board of Elections told me about 20 years ago that Tim Wagner got 5 write-in votes out here in Mount Clover Township for mayor. So. But yes, ma'am.
Turning on to his moratorium question. You have the ability to reverse the zoning back to AR.
That's something I'd have to check with the legal counsel. I don't know.
Okay. Then for the BZA, when it gets to them, if there is a project, do you restrictions on the conditional use, or they can make any conditions at all? Say, no residential within a mile.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
What are the restrictions that the BZA could put on it?
The BZA can put all sorts of restrictions, anything that's reasonable, you know, to make sure something is protecting the residents. They can put mounding, landscaping, in regards to noise, in regards to dust prevention, all sorts of buffering, you know, so they can put all sorts of restrictions on
the
project.
Including
building height.
Including buyouts.
I can't speak to the financial or private property.
But that could possibly be a condition, correct?
That would be a legal question.
Yeah, I don't know if it can be a condition, but that's what we've heard may occur, and that has occurred in other areas.
So if they did put a 1 mile restriction on it, that's a possibility to do that, is what you're saying. Then that would be on the data center to purchase any residential land in their mind, correct?
I hear what you're saying. I don't know that that can be that way.
But they don't have the right to put the residential buffer in? That's my question. Is there a way to do that? Is that restricted from you?
That's probably another question for our legal people in the county.
Guys, I appreciate the conversation. The last time I was in a room, we had so many residents at the meeting. It wasn't this back and forth. So I just want to say I appreciate the conversation and I'm not getting screamed at. Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Number of people stand up for a number of people mentioned things that they wanted answers to, and you all said you had to check with legal. How long is that going to take? Can it be done soon so when we come back for the next meeting, we can have some answers?
If our legal can get the answer, so like the residential buffer and the distance on that may be something that may have to go to either the Lucas County Prosecutor's Office or to review at the higher vice code. So,
well, this gentleman behind me asked a couple of questions.
Yeah, about the moratorium as far as
had to go to legal. Does something like that have to take a long time?
Well,
we're all concerned.
And that's the thing. So usually on any type of like the text amendment that we did, it went through the Lucas County Planning Commission to the Zoning Commission and then to this Board of Trustees. Now, if a moratorium to block what's already in place to do that, does it have to go through the same process? I don't know.
And that's a 3-month process. So each board is 1 month. So when Chuck referenced earlier our Friendship Kitchen, right? When that wasn't a zoning change, so that's a bad one. But when there's a zoning change, that's the process it goes through. It goes through the Lucas County Plan Commission, our zoning commission, and this board. And each one is a month. Sometimes it takes much longer.
It can take a lot longer, yeah.
Plan Commission. The soonest it can be is 3 months.
Okay.
And our zoning meeting are the fourth
Monday.
Not
sorry.
BZA.
Zoning
Commission is the fourth Monday.
Fourth Monday.
At 5:30.
5:30.
Just like ours. And that's where you see all this work get done.
So when I go home and explain to my wife and I explain to people at work tomorrow, I tell them in March, the Montclair Township trustees wanted to define what a data center was to protect us, and it is now up to the BZA, who is unelected, to ultimately play a major role in whether one of these comes in on Black Road with thousands of families living very close to it. Because I don't think I can go tell them special lights and mounds aren't going to help them sleep at night. So is that what I should say?
I think that's what you're going to say. So,
well,
just
that is the process. That is the process.
Okay.
Yeah. If a project comes before the township, the BZA will get it after and work to encourage all of them to, you know, educate themselves as much as possible. You know, look at the pluses and minuses. You know, the pluses, you know, potentially a windfall of the school. Minuses, you know, the impact to the residents and the community. There's not going to be a lot of traffic with this if it was to come forward. But, you know, the conditions that they set, you know, for example, with the dome facility that was going to be on North Jerome Road, the BZA just said, no, we're not approving your plan, period.
Right.
And they're moving forward another plan right now. So that's an option. You know, whatever an applicant can present, the BZA says, no, we don't like this, and just turn it down, because they could do that directly. And they've done that before in the past.
That's correct.
So they said, no, the people playing pickleball, we should be feeling pretty good right now about
no, what they said, and I was at that meeting, they said, we have standards in the community, and we don't maintain those standards.
I think they actually said they didn't dome, but not the business. The business is right, not this type
it was permitted, not a permitted building.
Architectural standards for
the,
and our staff and attorney help them. It's not like they're just sitting there with no information, or we require them to go look on the internet. We will be involved with the process if a data center application is made. I'm not that sure that it's being made.
Yeah. Sure, Ryan, you have another question?
I think this will be the last. I guess, just to clarify, what prompted, I think everybody I talk to wants to know what prompted the change.
Well, like I said,
specifically, who contacted you guys that made you decide we need to make this change to protect the township?
A site selector was working with Lucas County Economic Development and the regional growth, and they're saying they're looking at multiple sites throughout western Lucas County, as I said earlier, which made this attractive because of the Nexus pipeline and other gas lines in the area.
Okay.
So that's what prompted it.
Okay.
So how do we contact this? And they talked about what could happen if a commercial rezone, so commercial and nothing come, the data center, somebody else could buy it and build a factory right there.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight.
Thank you again.
Feel free to email us or call me. If you have specific questions, please, at the end of the meeting, if we could get your email, as soon as we find answers on some of these questions that we said, I'd like to check with our legal counsel. We can certainly get back as soon as possible. With that, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Yes.